Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Today is a mind-blowing conversation. You won't want to miss it. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome again to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Of course, I am Paul Blair. I'm one of the pastors here at Fairview Baptist Church, a.k.a. Liberty Church of Edmond, Oklahoma. And sitting in for Dan Fisher today is David Hannon, one of our staff members, normally produces our show. It's normally David that we're throwing stuff at when he embarrasses us. But today, David has the privilege of embarrassing himself on video for everybody to see. David,
oh, great.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Now, we've got a lot to talk about. Of course, being Baptist, this is one of our areas of expertise. We're talking about Budweiser, which, you know, other than deacons' meetings, don't drink a lot, but that's certainly an appropriate time.
Well, you know,
time.
Companies need to learn how to connect with their audiences, right? So Budweiser, yeah. They got Dylan Mulvaney to help connect better
Dylan.
With
yes, Dylan. Well, Dylan. Sounds like, you know, probably a guy carries a gun, you know, probably muscular, hairy chest, Dylan Mulvaney. Could be a football player, maybe. That's actually not a bad name. Tell me about Dylan.
Well, he's transgender.
I'm sorry.
I don't.
Transgender. Is that really a word? I mean, transgender. You've got.
Well, there's currently 842 genders now. Yeah. There used to be two.
I was in college once, and I've been in locker rooms before. Mm. I'm pretty sure I've only seen two.
This is so hard to do with a straight face.
I've even seen
this
kindergarten
stupid,
cop.
Isn't it? I know,
I've
right?
I've even seen kindergarten cop where the kindergartner comes up to Arnold Schwarzenegger and says,
"Boys have a penis, girls have vagina."
Yeah, that's pretty yep. much factual for 6,000 years of world history. And for biology and everything else, there's only two. There's always been two restrooms. It was one or the other. Then they added the family, which I knew was for if you have a small child, take the child in so you can change the diaper. This last few years have been amazing. And Budweiser really takes the cake. Because when you think of Budweiser, other than deacons' meetings, you normally think of like NASCAR, rednecks, country and western music. Of course, they used to do a lot of Bud Light advertising in the National Football League. You had men that watched football games and other professional sporting events. And Budweiser's brilliant strategy to reconnect with their fan base or their audience or their market was to call a dude a girl, put a dude in a dress, and march him out there to promote the product. Boy, that's a brilliant strategy.
And it's having such a positive impact. I'll tell you what.
If I was Jim Cramer, I'd be saying, sell your Budweiser stock.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah, the thing is that, you know, is Disney even going to learn their lesson?
Oh, my goodness.
For example, a new science fiction animated movie called Strange World features an open line.
Well,
we live
if you go
in a
beyond
strange
two
world.
Genders, this is science fiction. There's male, there's female, and then there's science fiction. There's science and science fiction. Okay, I'm
well,
sorry.
It's a movie about a teenage gay relationship.
Oh, great.
Well, take a guess.
I'm guessing it's rocketing at the bottom.
It's going to set to lose $100 million.
In a weekend? I'm surprised that's not the first weekend. And hopefully it'll get worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, look what's happening now with Disney's market cap has shrunk by nearly $34 billion since the company expressed its full-throttled opposition to the Florida legislation, House Bill 1557, the one where they say, don't say gay bill.
which was a lie. It had nothing to do with not saying gay. It was about indoctrinating prepubescent children in the schools. Made that against the law. And where is Disney? You know, Disney used to be the cherished. They were entrusted. Walt Disney was entrusted with entertaining the youth and the children of America. I mean, you could entrust your children to a good Disney movie and knew that they were safe. They weren't going to see anything obscene or hear bad language. And now, quite frankly, I don't take the Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I don't take it because I don't trust anything they put out anymore. And it's sad because there used to be a bunch of great movies they'd put out. Mm-hmm. I remember when my kids were small, we would go to Toy Story and go to all the new Disney movies when they came out. You can't go see the latest versions of all these movies because it has nothing to do with entertainment. It's all about confusing and indoctrinating our children.
Yep.
And quite frankly, I'd recommend anybody that hasn't seen Kindergarten Cop in a couple of decades, go slap it back in. This little kindergarten boy will straighten you out. Mm. No problem. Not that hard. Yeah. But you know what's funny is we have worked so hard in all my years of athletics. You know, there was all this Title IX push. You know, they wanted equality in women's athletics.
Oh, boy.
They wanted women to have the same size locker rooms as men and the same size weight rooms and all this other stuff, even though they failed to consider the economics of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason, even at Oklahoma State in growing up in my era, I mean, football is what drove the entire athletic department. You know, it wasn't wrestling, although we had a dominant wrestling program. Still, you could put maybe 4,000 or 5,000 fans in a sporting event. Basketball, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 fans in a sporting event. You know, women's sports, track and field, it just didn't draw the people into the stands. Football, you had 50,000, 60,000, 80,000 fans. That's where your money's made. So just pure economics is what drove sports. But even in spite of the economics, they've worked so hard to provide an equal playing field for women. And have mm-hmm. equal facilities for women.
Yep.
And now that they've actually got, quite frankly, they've killed a lot of men's programs because you had to have the same number mm-hmm. scholarships, yep. same number of events and things of that nature. And now that they have equality for women, they're now, stabbing them in the back.
I know. Now we have a man who's swimming and Leah, is it Lee Thomas?
I don't know what his name is, but I'm sure it ain't Leah. I'd loan to check his birth certificate.
And now we have men being honored as Woman of the Year.
Now, come on.
This is so confusing.
Is this a joke or is this an insult?
No, it was Rachel Levine, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the many.
Admiral Rachel Levine is the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health in the Biden administration. And USA Today just named her one of its Women of the Year.
But folks, think about this. And if you're even trying to be open-minded about this, think about the joke here. In all of the competitions for Women of the Year, whether it's sports or whatever, men are winning it. There's got to be a good joke in there somewhere. Men are winning all the Women of the Year competitions. Now, one thing that tells me is if I was China or Russia, I wouldn't be that afraid of the United States military anymore.
No.
Because sadly,
no.
Our men are some of the finest women on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's us.
This is
no laughing in the outer area here. You're supposed to be behind the camera.
It's insane.
Yeah, we've stepped into the twilight zone.
Yeah, we have. So what do you do as a pastor of a church to address this? Are there churches addressing this?
Probably not. Yeah, there's a lot of churches that have gone full-blown woke. And these kids that are coming out of seminary, coming out of college right now, they're being taught this dribble, and they're taught to be kind and don't hurt anybody's feelings. You know, here's the thing. We as pastors are supposed to be the proponents promoting the truth. We're supposed to point people to the truth, point people to Jesus in comparison to all the other religions of the world. Jesus is truth. The tomb is empty. All the other religions of the world are not. Well, if that hurts somebody's feelings, I'm sorry. But my job as being called as an ordained minister by the Lord Jesus is to point people to Jesus, point people to the truth. Then we are to make disciples. And the thing we have to do as pastors is no matter how much pressure is out there, you cannot compromise on the truth.
Nope.
I mean, in our church, we will always have two bathrooms, men and women. They'll be making popsicles in hell before we have a transgender bathroom here. And I don't care. I mean, quite frankly, They may throw me in jail.
You're going to cause our ESG score to plummet.
Oh, our ESG. If it isn't already at zero, if it isn't already at zero, I'm going to be really disappointed. But we as pastors, we cannot back up on this because, trust me, the majority of people haven't lost their mind. It's just those few that are in these corporate boardrooms that are, I don't know whether they're satanically possessed or oppressed or what it is, but they're insisting on trying to corrupt our children and, and ruin the United States of America. The vast majority of people in America haven't lost their minds. But just like in a battle, they're keeping their heads down. They don't want to get their head shot off by popping off on social media or saying something at some public meeting because they're afraid that the five people in the city that actually believe in this transgender bullcrap are all members of the city council, most likely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the majority of people know what the truth is. You have got to reinforce that, and you've got to make sure and protect your kids and your families that have been entrusted to your care. As much as we'd like to change America, the only thing that we have the influence over is our own families and our own congregations that the Lord has entrusted us. So we as pastors, if we are Bible-believing pastors, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what public pressure is, we cannot answer or we cannot compromise the truth. And one day, every one of us will give an account to the Lord Jesus himself for how faithful we were in carrying out that job. So that's the commission. That's the job that we as pastors. It's not that hard. We don't live in the twilight zone. There is absolute truth everywhere we look. And most of the time, although there are some questions where it may reach into the gray area and maybe there's little subject to a room for debate, most of the time there is a black and white answer to most questions. And those we've got to stand firm on.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
By the way, I'm running for women's Miss Universe this year. I'm hoping to win the swimsuit competition.
Not
sure if I can still rock a two-piece at the age of 60. Thong on, but my wife threw up.
Oh, man, I tell you what.
We've just been pulled from YouTube.
We live in it. In a day of confusion.
Yeah.
No. It's done on purpose. It's like the United States, have we lost our superpower status?
As of right now, yeah. And think about it. Just 3 years ago, we were the world's dominant power. We were energy, we were self-sustaining energy-wise.
Oh, yeah.
We were an exporter rather than importer. Everybody wanted to be our friend. Everybody looked to the United States of America as they have for the better part of the last century. Now, sadly, and very quickly, have we fallen off the rails.
Yep, and, I know.
You know, this has been going on in education for a long time. It's one of the reasons we encourage our pastors to partner with homeschool co-ops. You know, again, you may not be able to affect or reach the whole country, but you can do something about the flock that's been entrusted to you. Make sure you're protecting those little lambs. Make sure you're supporting those parents that God has entrusted to you in your care. So, and quite frankly, it's like the Nehemiah strategy. If we have a bunch of churches in Edmond doing this, or a bunch of churches across Oklahoma that refuse to compromise on the truth, then we will keep the vast majority of people solid, and we will ward this off. But this is purely satanic. I mean, the Bible deals about, I mean, let's face it, the Lord created us as sexual beings. Sexuality was a gift that God gave to Adam and Eve that was to be enjoyed in accordance to his will to bring him glory. It included procreation as well as pleasure between a husband and a wife. Anything outside of God's design is sin, and this is just gross perversion that violates natural law. So there was cross-dressers in the Bible. That's why it says that men to wear men's clothing, women to wear men's women's clothing. God created us as sexual beings, and God wants us to enjoy it, but we'll only enjoy it if we do it in accordance to his will. Anything out of that's fool's gold. And at the end of the day, you know, even Solomon made the declaration that he was ready to end his life. And one of the things that Solomon had pursued to try to fill that void was sexual pleasure. He had, 700 wives, 300 concubines. And Ecclesiastes 2, Solomon said, I hate my life. So it's not just empty sexual gratification. The only way that we as God's creation are going to find contentment is if we are in the middle of God's will. Mm-hmm. And the devil's doing everything he can to keep us out of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's where we're at. Well, but anything else we need to throw out there? Are we good for this week?
I think that's a wrap.
I think we've got anything else, considering where we've already dared to venture.
Just on this. Don't know whether to just cry or just, it's insanity.
One of these days, there's going to be a great white throne judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And the dead, small and great, are going to stand before Yahweh, and they're going to give an account. You know, so we are on the winning side. The Bible tells us that in the latter days, there will be perilous times.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said specifically, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot.
Yep.
Think of how depraved both of those references were. And we're quickly getting there.
Yep.
So this shouldn't be a surprise. If one thing, we should be encouraged, recognizing that the Lord's got to be coming soon. But in the meantime, we've got to roll up our sleeves and report to our battle stations day in and day out. No days off.
It's kind of like our church. It's a battle station.
It's a battle station. Yep. Wish this was a cruise ship. Wish it was the Love Boat.
There you
I was
go.
Meryl Stubing. But it's not.
This Sign me up for that cruise ship.
We're more in the lines of Nimitz rather than Stubing. So. Well, buddy, it's always enjoyable to be on the broadcast with you. Hopefully, Pastor Dan will be healthy and back with us next time. But thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. And until next time,
take care and bye-bye.